Hey, you all. It's your boy, Baron Baptiste here. Welcome to Disrupt the Drift. This is a place where we can tell the truth and the truth can be told. David, how you doing, man?
Fantastic. It's great to be here, Baron. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of things real quick. If you have questions that you would like us to respond to on the show, please send them to disruptingthedrift@baronbaptiste.com. disruptingthedrift@baronbaptiste.com. We drop these episodes on YouTube at Disrupt the Drift and also on Baron Baptiste Podcast on those YouTube channels. David, I wanted to talk to you about yoga today. Yoga. I haven't talked about yoga. I don't think we ever have, a little bit, but not really. But I'm noticing a phenomenon out there, and there's a lot of talk, especially from Christians, that yoga is the dark side. Yoga is satanic. Yoga is of the devil. Yoga opens you up to demons. Yoga is, and then I'm like, and I listen to some of these interviews on podcasts and things, and it's interesting to me because they're like, yeah, even doing, you know, a downward facing dog is demonic. It just, the poses, if you do the yoga poses, the physical poses. And I'm like, okay, how is that different than you go to the gym and then you do your stretching at the end? I want to talk about this with you a little bit. And I'd be super curious to hear your take on that. And I have some of my own take that I'll share as well as we get into it. But what do you see there?
There are literal people who literally can't
literal
think,
people who think they, literally.
They just can't think beyond their programming. And a lot of the programming of Christians comes from this strict adherence to doctrine. And to me, that is, in a sense, its own cult. And Jesus would probably throw up in his mouth if he heard a lot of this stuff, because he didn't come to condemn people. He came to forgive people.
And bring people back to the spirit.
Right.
Their spirit. And
there's a lot of condemnation.
The spirit of God, yeah.
There's a lot of fear also. And let's put it in perspective. Literal people build a fortress around themselves with ideas. And those ideas, are they original ideas? Do they occur naturally within the mind of the thinker? No. They're programmed in. They're put in there by people who have an agenda, whatever it may be. They claim to be able to bring you to salvation, which they cannot do. And they're trying to save you from something. And that something is what they've been taught to believe about various different belief systems. And so, yes, I will say that there are people who are associated with some of those belief systems, some of the Eastern philosophy, who are evil. But that doesn't make everybody evil, right? It doesn't make all people who practice anything evil, and especially if you're doing it for the sake of your health and not from a philosophical indoctrination, which is yoga is just another form of exercise. And now it can become something more.
Right. I want to get into that a little bit.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah. So two things. So I grew up around yoga and Eastern right. teachings and all that and gurus, and my parents would take me to India. We go check out different yoga these Indian gurus who were teaching these kind of yoga type teachings and the chakras and all that kind of world. And as I grew older into my late teens and early 20s, I was very lost. I was very lost.
Yeah.
But something was clear to me, and growing up around it, I was like, that's not the truth.
Right.
That's not there's something I wouldn't use back then, especially the language of, oh, that's demonic. But as I have grown up and look back now, it's like the yoga world itself, that what that represents. And philosophically, spiritually, and you follow these gurus, and decades later, I can look back and see where that took most of those people. And it wasn't great places.
Yeah.
And you can go down this dark path of you keep following this path of yoga and getting deeper into the inner world of your chakras, and you end up in a dark place, is what I see. You don't actually come to truth. You come to a place where you play God and you become a God, and you don't know it but you're seeking this enlightenment that you never really find. And it's like this puzzle, and it keeps you in this place of confusion. And the more you, the deeper people go into that, I say, and in my experience, the worse you become. And you do open yourself up to weird forces and weird, strange, dark places.
I want to posit a question.
Yeah. Do it.
How many of those people out there that call themselves Christians are taking some kind of medication to control their mood?
Yeah.
I would guarantee you that it's probably 50%, if not more.
Yeah.
But they don't see that as a problem. They see that as a solution. They see psychotropics that alter your brain chemistry, and it rearranges your actual brain activity. They see that as a solution. They don't have an issue. They don't fight over that. Because when you bring up, that's the sacred cow, by the way, an Indian term. They don't want to talk about what it is that's helped that mother's little helper, helping them get along. How many of those people actually drink or smoke or vape?
All the undercurrent, the way they live, is they're open to those same dark forces.
Right. How many are beset by some of the seven deadly sins?
It's not living true. Yeah, it's not living true.
How many of them overeat? How many of them need to lose weight? Come on. Let's get real about this. Don't go into anything and make it a worship of that kind. If you do, that's you. That's not the thing itself.
That's the hypocrisy of it. Mm-hmm. So they're like Bible thumpers.
Yeah.
I like to call them. They're like Bible thumpers, and they have this dogma. But look in Eastern teachings or in the world of yoga, it gets very dogmatic.
Yes.
And it goes down that same, like human beings show up and they turn things into this dogma. And then if you talk to the yoga people, that Christianity or the Bible, like that's not the way to enlightenment.
But it's the Christians that have done that to themselves through dogma of their own.
Totally. Yeah, totally. They turn people off. It turned me off. I was very close to Christianity and all the Jimmy Swaggerts and those televangelists. And I was like, you just look at their body language and it just reeks with inconsistency and hypocrisy. And the Christians have turned people away from them. That they're at fault for that. On the flip side, a lot of these gurus, and I'll put it like self-help gurus or influence, whatever kind of guru, it's like you prop yourself up as a god. But if your eyes are open, things don't measure up. Like there's something not quite right there. When you start waking up and coming back to truth, you start waking up and seeing, wait, there's hypocrisy everywhere. And that's where people get tripped up. People start following something that isn't in their best interest. So let me just say this. So with the yoga thing for myself, I for a long time, I resisted teaching yoga, and partly was, and this is in my early 20s, I was like, I don't want to teach yoga. I don't want to get into, firstly, being a guru or being anyone's leader like that. And I don't want to take people into a dark world that I have had experience for myself. And so I was in conflict. And that's where I started coming up with, okay, power yoga. Because I'll tell you this, the physical practices of yoga, just doing the yoga poses and the deep breathing practice, and where you just focus your attention, you come out of your head, you get present in your body. This is very healthy. It's like good mind-body fitness. It's a workout of sorts, you could call it. Like you go different than going down the whole path of yoga. And following gurus and all of that, because it didn't work for me, never has. And so I've certainly gone down that path. I've spent time living in ashrams and following gurus. But at a certain point, I was like, the physical, practical, just moving your body and having a mind set, so to speak, or a mind, focusing your mind, calming your mind, clearing your mind. These are just healthy things, help people clear stress. And your body is designed to move. People don't move their bodies in the world we live in. And I created a very practical form of yoga practice. I called Power Yoga, Baptiste Power Yoga. And then fast forward to today, people that are saying, again, it's a lot, I see it mostly in the Christian sector where they're like, yoga is demonic, anything, doing a physical pose. I'm like, well, wait, I could go to the gym and stand on my head at the end of a workout. I could go through, do a downward dog and some movements that are just like stretching and flexing my body. And wait, what's demonic about that? But what you're pointing to is when people get dogmatic and then they become these, but here, I want to say one other thing that's always been really present for me when people, because I've been attacked over the years a lot for teaching yoga and that it's demonic or satanic. And I'm like, wait, if you're so secure in your own beliefs, why would going through these different movements, why is that a threat to you? If you're so grounded in your God, why can't you do any kind of, we're talking about physical movement here, right? Physical movement and getting present, getting attentive. How could that not make you a better, a more clear human being with the maybe greater access to truth?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a great point. If you're secure in who you are, why are you threatened by people who are doing something different? For whatever reason, they are programmed by their belief system to see. Think about this. Programming causes you to look through a different lens than you otherwise might. And is there a programming that justifies somehow you feeling better about who you are by looking down your nose at other people? Jesus didn't come for that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read something from 2 Corinthians 3:6. This is the English Standard Version. God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, wait a minute.
And letter means words.
That is exactly right.
When you use words, or you could say you take the Bible, you take those words and you use them like a shield, or you take them literally. Different than living from the Spirit.
Here's the New Living Translation. Yeah. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. So who is your God? Is it the God of the old covenant? Is it the God that you are continuing to go back and drink from the stagnant well of yesterday? Not that those lessons aren't valuable, by the way, because they are. There's a great deal of wisdom in the old stories and in the Old Testament and in the written laws. But have you found the living water? Do you drink from the living well? Does it refresh you and renew you? Remember the other part of the Bible that says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be renewed from within.
Yeah. It's interesting because, do not be conformed to the pattern. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. And if you're living from within yourself and truth, it's so, I'll say this too, it's like coming from this yoga and Eastern teachings background, and that's what's there in the world of, to me, it's an empty package, and that's always a dangling kind of carrot over there for people. But here's what I want to say: as I've backed out of that and I keep dissolving my identities and my identities being like dropped off of me, what I come to is, and I've come to this very naturally, is biblical principles. And it's because in there, when I had to get past all the associations I had with that, especially coming out of that New Age world, I had to get past, but here's my point. It's like, it's narrowed down. Where is truth? And what is truth? Where is truth? And it, when I, and I very organically, naturally, but not by default, but by extraction, by backing out of all these false gods, false beliefs, New Age rituals, I've backed into very naturally, well, like, the Bible has such truth. And the Bible itself, even though, is incomplete. It's like the Bible itself, Jesus didn't write any of those words. He never wrote a word. Those are all in interpretations. And then you don't really get that, but the stories in there, the wisdom in there, when not taken literally, brings you back. It just rings true. It rings true for me. And I've studied Buddhism and did all the other kind of everything in that kind of realm. But I keep coming back to the simple truths that Jesus taught. Jesus as a teacher are very like simple, and they ring true. And when you live by them, they work. And to me, people come to yogas and they're like, oh, this is the whole world of yoga that buy into it. Or that in different cults, like suddenly there, whatever kind of thing you get into in self-help or personal development or human potential or New Age, you can take that on. Wow, this is the whole way. Or yoga practice, people get into it and then they get fanatical about it. But if you take it on, this is the answer. This is the answer, the way. You ride that out for a while and it doesn't work because it's not whole. It's not whole and complete.
Yeah. And here is from the Aramaic Bible in plain English. And do not imitate this world, but be transformed by the renovation of your minds, and you shall distinguish what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Renovation, renewal. It is not something, when you go to a stagnant pond that's been there for thousands of years, yes, there is some water there, but watch out, because it's been sitting there so long that you may just take in the bad with the good, and that would be the literal sense of it. Renew, get with God and be with God and be with the Spirit every moment of every day. And you will know, you'll be shown.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't allow yourself to be deceived, if you don't deceive yourself and you don't allow yourself, therefore, if you're not deceiving yourself, you won't allow yourself to be deceived by false teachers and false prophets and gurus or just constructs of self-help or spirituality that lead to an empty package. But I know for myself, I've had to go down these paths, but I always to discover they weren't real or true. But within myself, it'd be like I'd go sit in front of a different guru, or sit in front of a different teacher, some big famous motivational guru or speaker. And it was always something in the ground of my being was like, no, this isn't. Yeah, there's some nuggets in here, but no, this isn't it. Go sit in front of some other guru. No, this isn't it. Something doesn't match up here. But when coming back to these kind of biblical principles, it's like drinking water, the water of life. And it's like, that's where the restoration, the renewing of your mind, the more you buy into truth and live by truth, live true, you begin to see for yourself all these different deceptions rather than buying into it all. And I think that's what's key. It comes down to trusting yourself but different than deceiving yourself. And it's subtle because I think most people deceive themselves. Yeah. You keep yourself in situations that you're deceiving yourself, or you're hanging out with people or things, you're deceiving yourself, or you get caught up in the next big high, the next big ayahuasca journey, or the next big guru or thing that's this is the answer. But if you really follow yourself, that the conscience, that small, still voice of truth within yourself, you find yourself backing out. I found myself backing out of all of these things and coming back very naturally to not the Bible. And okay, now I have to study the Bible and learn the Bible. No, it's like I can open the Bible and read a few words and they bounce off the page and they awaken something within me, a truth. And then I set that book down and I live by that. I bring that into my reality. And it's the last thing I want to say about this. The other thing that these Bible thumper Christian types will say, but I'll say it's on the yoga side too, because they're just as hypocritical in attacking. If you're not doing the right kind of yoga, you're not doing the classical traditional yoga of Patanjali. No, I'm not. And I don't want to actually purposefully, because to me, that's an empty package. To me, that will take me to dark places. No, what's the truth? And to see it for yourself. But these Bible thumpers, what they'll say often is even doing the yoga poses, even though you have a good intention, even if you think you're not connecting with satanic forces, you are. And I'm like, no, it's like math. You do a downward dog pose, you do a forward bend, you stand on your head, you do a back bend. Those things are empty movements. It's just physical movements. It's like math. You move your body in different directions and it has an impact on your body and your health. And it's like math in the physical universe. It doesn't have all this meaning and significance. I'll say the word superstition is what I think a lot of these kind of Bible thumpers, because they're living so linearly from in a dogmatic way, as you pointed out, that now they have superstitions and they're not free. They're not free to be with life and at present to what's truth and what's not. They've got some dogma that says, even if you do a forward, like a downward dog pose or stand on your head, you're lining up with evil forces. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. Get out of your head and come into what is the truth. I don't know. Does that make sense to you? Something like that? Yeah.
And I just want to expand on this one idea very quickly, because we're talking about the renewing of your mind. Here's what the notes on Romans 12:2 say. By the renewing of your mind, the mind, in other words, the mental faculties, reason, or understanding, when informed by an evil principle, it becomes an instrument of evil. But when informed by the Spirit, it is an instrument of good. It performs the process of discrimination between good and evil, and so supplies the data to conscience. The mind here is only strictly identical, the mind here is not strictly identical with what we now mean by conscience. It is as if it were the rational part of conscience to which the moral quality needs to be superadded. The renewed mind, or the mind acting under the influence of the Spirit, comes very close to conscience. So again, conscience is a spiritual thing. And I was talking about Pinocchio in our last discussion. What happened to make Pinocchio a real boy was that he developed a conscience. And only a person who is connected to reality can relate to that power, the power of that conscience.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. I think it's a good place to wrap up. I'll say this, that to me, a practical yoga practice, physical practice with breathing and focus and getting present in your body, it's a tool. It's a tool for living a better life. There's a lot of things in the personal development, self-help. They're tools. They can be useful tools in bettering your life, becoming more effective at what you do. If you're an entrepreneur, an employee, a husband, wife, they're practical tools in some of these things, but to have an inner guidance, to see from within yourself and see, oh, what makes sense? What can I use and implement different than buying into the whole thing that, oh, this is the answer. This is going to save me. This is my next savior. Because at the end of every new savior is a, you'll hit a sour point. Truth is simple. Come back to that. All right, you all, thank you. Again, send in your questions to disruptingthedrift@baronbaptiste.com. Send in questions so we can respond to them. We love that. You can watch these on YouTube. Leave your comments. I'd love to hear what you have to say about this topic. And David, be well, man. All right, you all, stay true, stay well, stay bold. And until next time, peace be with you.